Hello everyone, this is Bob Fox from GreedandMoney.com. Today again I have the privilege to have Glenn Neely, the expert in NeoWay, as well as River Theory here with me. Glenn, recently he has seen a lot of chaos and panic in the gold market, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting. I've been expecting a decline, but man, when it happens, and it happens as fast as it does, it's always shocking.
Yeah, in fact, I think on Monday, that was the worst percentage-wise of gold loss in the last 30 years, and the standard deviation for gold loss was 4.5 standard deviation, which is way extended, but
out of whack.
Really breathtaking. Yeah, very breathtaking.
Yeah, I've been actually warning customers, though, for quite a while. I assume you get my service, and I've been warning that the patterns that were forming in gold are so large that I couldn't even use daily charts to figure out what was going on. It really almost required only monthly and six-monthly charts and occasionally weekly charts. But the dailies and anything lower than that was just basically useless, because the larger a pattern, the more you have to focus on longer time frames to see the pattern and to be able to figure out what's going on and identify the end. And I was very concerned about the size of this gold pattern. If you look at that six-monthly chart that I will be sending you, or that you can see currently on our computer, and I'll be sending you by email to send out to anybody who listens to this. That's my super long-term count going back to 1996. It shows what appears to be a very complicated series of corrections from way, way back, I think from the 1980 high, that didn't finish until about late 2005. And then from there, there's a very clear upward expanding pattern, which would be either a terminal or an expanding triangle, but based on the large evidence, it's probably a terminal pattern, which means it's impulsive, but it's a special kind of impulsion where each leg is corrective. So you can clearly see on this chart that wave one is three legs, wave two is just one, wave three looks like there may be five segments, but there's no extended wave, there's no alternation, so that means that that's a corrective rally also. Wave four overlaps wave two, which is only allowed in such patterns. And then wave five is just a big corrective mess, which is probably a triple three combination pattern. And I've been warning customers for a long, long time, as you know, that I felt the high at the 1900 in 2011 was probably the top. I said there was the chance we might go higher a little bit. We might go, you know, comfortably higher. But I kept repeating that the chances are best that most likely was the end of the pattern, and that it would finish later at a lower high, and that's been my primary focus for quite some time now. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, as you know, gold just collapsed, and it's dropped about $300 in just a few days. That's, under wave theory, that's what I call a confirmation process. It's actually not an Elliott wave concept, but it's a Neo wave concept that I talk about in my book, Mastering Elliott Wave, that when you do your homework correctly, when you've done your wave analysis correctly, the market will produce a certain kind of behavior after a pattern to confirm that your previous assessment and analysis was correct. And so what we needed to see here in the gold market was a drop bigger and faster than anything we've seen during the fifth wave, which I think started way back in 2008, early 2009. We needed to see a correction or a drop bigger than anything we've seen since that low, and it needs to be faster and sort of shocking, like obviously this decline has been, but it needs to be faster and larger than anything we've seen for like 5 or 6 years, since 2008, early 2009, and that's been accomplished. So that's the first stage of confirmation. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, this big, huge sell-off in gold is probably done. You know, it's all the weak hands have been shaken out. The banks and all these people have been holding. It was just overly prescribed and subscribed and overly invested in, but that it's just temporary and we're eventually going to go higher. But wave theory says completely the opposite, that this confirmation event indicates that wave five is finished, and of course wave five is the end of an even bigger pattern. So after this first decline, we might bounce for a little while and maybe even bounce quite a bit. It could bounce as much as $100, $150 off this current low. But then we need the next phase of confirmation, which won't be confirming the end of wave 5, but it'll be confirming the end of the entire pattern that started at the low in 2005. That, unfortunately, for anybody long gold, requires that we're going to drop below $1,000 sometime potentially this year. So we're talking about another catastrophic decline in the price of gold to levels that people just currently cannot imagine.
So what you're saying is what we have seen on Friday and this Monday is just appetizer. We're going to actually see the main course later in the year in terms of
right.
gold selling.
This is just the beginning. It's similar to the crash in 2008. You know, we had a really huge decline in January, and then
right.
people thought, oh, that's just temporary. And we had another big decline going into the summer, and they started to get a little more afraid. And then we had the really scary event into late 2008, 2009. So this is just the first shot of what should be a multi-year, and for sure at least a multi-month decline in gold of almost unprecedented magnitude, at least nothing like it since the high in 1980. So this is the beginning of what should be one of the largest, fastest declines in gold in history.
Wow.
So completely
well,
opposite of whatever what you would expect, right?
You're right, because everybody, yeah, well, all the bobbleheads on those financial channels were saying this is obviously the buying opportunity if you're long-term. And, you know, then, of course, they use a lot of technical analysis to say, you know, the trend is still up.
Right.
If you look at the long-term chart.
Probably a lot of more fundamental analysis than technical, but...
Right, right. So they don't really use the wave theories, near waves and, you know, near river type of technology to decide whether this is true or not. But,
right, well, the biggest concern is, you know, when you're analyzing psychology, one of the scariest things you can get is a big market decline that does not get people bearish. That's one of the most scary things you can experience, because it means this is just the very beginning of the bear market. If everybody got extremely concerned and super bearish and pessimistic all of a sudden, well, then that's probably the low. But
right.
that's not been the case. There's just been like, oh, my God, what's happening and why did this happen? And, oh, okay, well, that's just temporary and everything's going to get back to normal and the government's still printing money and countries are still going bankrupt and all that. And people don't understand that we're not in the kind of financial world we were back 200 years ago, 100 years ago. When the Federal Reserve was formed, it created a new kind of financial system that people apparently just don't quite understand. It's not the old world where if you have $100 in gold and you give it to someone to save for you in their safe, you know, a bank to save it for you or hold it for you, that bank in the old world could then give you a receipt for that $100, but then sort of behind your back, if they wanted to, create another receipt and double, you know, the amount of money that they supposedly have, even though they still only have $100 in gold. They could pretend they had $200 in gold by giving another receipt to somebody else and using that to buy things. But in a fractional reserve banking system and what's called the Mandrake Principle, the Federal Reserve only and all banks can only lend money if there is demand to borrow. They don't just print money and spend it on their own. That's not allowed, and that's not the way it works. The money that is in the system gets there through the actual request to borrow money. So the money doesn't exist before the request, and then it does exist once the request occurs. So our whole system for the last 100 years has been built on this growing request for credit, growing economic industrial complex and businesses and so forth, all needing money and using that money by borrowing it from banks, and that borrowing process created the money. So what we're experiencing now is the end of that credit explosion that's been going on for probably at least 90 years now, actually 100 years now, since the Fed was formed. They were formed in 1913, I think. So that means it's been almost 100 years exactly. So that whole process is coming to an end according to the gold structure, and that we're actually going to start the reverse of that, which would be a credit implosion. And as you go through a credit implosion, it means more and more people are paying off debts, which is partly due to the fact that the majority of Americans are getting older. So as people get older, they tend to get into less debt. They tend to want to pay off debts. They don't like being in debt. They can't afford to have too much debt, you know, based on a limited income as they retire. So all this debt starts to disappear, and as the debt gets paid off, that money then just goes away. It's like it never existed, and as it goes away, less and less money or value is in circulation, which means every dollar becomes worth more and more and more. And as each dollar becomes worth more, everything else denominated in dollars starts to go down, including gold, real estate, everything else. So that is what I think is happening now. I think this big drop in gold is the first signal that finally the credit expansion of the last 100 years has finally come to an end, and that we're now going to go through a credit contraction, which should last for probably a few decades, most likely. And that gold...
So what you're saying is actually, it's very scary. What you're saying is, despite the stock market has break all-time high in both S&P as well as Dow nominally, what you're saying is the deflation pressure that we see in 2008 is actually just the beginning. What you're saying is with the gold crashing, it's actually going to get a lot worse.
Well,
based
on gold, which I think is one of the best measures of, you know, is the best standard, because gold is an indestructible element. Its supply is basically constant. It's one of the only constants in the world. So it's a very good measure to use against everything else. So based on gold versus the dollar, it indicates that the peak of the credit expansion occurred in 2011. We've been consolidating ever since. The Fed... one of the whole reasons the Fed has been doing the things they're doing is they're trying to avoid this credit implosion. They're trying to spend as much money as the U.S. government will allow them to, the U.S. government will borrow as much money as they can spend in the bond market, wherever they can spend it, in a way that it creates this growing credit base. But they've been doing this to try to avoid the deflation that I'm sure they know is coming. And unfortunately, this deflation pressure is larger and more powerful than the Fed itself, even though they've helped to delay it for quite some time. I think that they've reached the point where they no longer can stop it. And the big crash in gold we saw this week is an indication that that game is now over, and that the whole world will be going through a credit implosion. I don't think it's necessarily scary. I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's only bad for probably mostly the super rich, which sounds very strange, but the super rich would be the people who own lots of things, you know, real estate and companies and stock and everything that's tangible, art and, you know, gold and all these different possessions that you can have, where the average guy doesn't have much of that stuff and will actually dramatically benefit from this process, because if you have a certain income level and a certain amount of savings that's not very large and it's not invested in things that are likely to decline, if it's just in cash, then you're likely to actually benefit, where your buying power will increase over time. So the average American will probably not be that hurt by this unless they have a lot of debt. If you're in debt, that's where the problems are going to occur. If you're not in debt, it should actually be a great period for you, and you see an increase in your buying power, an increase in your income may stay the same, but its relative buying power would increase. So your standard of living could increase as long as you still have a job. So
sure.
It's going to be a very strange world, in my opinion, for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, almost an upside-down world where things are going to happen that we've never imagined, never experienced, and has never occurred in the U.S. for at least 80 to 90 years, so most people alive have never experienced what we're probably getting ready to go through.
It's really hard to imagine that, Glenn, when you just say that sentence, because, you know, I remember the trader in 2008, everybody was just shocking about how much things declined, both in commodity as well as real estate, stock market, everything. So with gold potentially tanking in a third way, some kind of form, like you say, this is kind of the beginning, and then later on after some kind of bump, and we're going to have a really fast going down.
Right.
And so that means that we're going to see something that's even worse than 2008? That's just really hard to imagine, you know, because 2000 was so bad in some ways that, you know, people say that if they don't do any bailout that, you know, the money market will be gone. Or,
yeah, I'm not sure exactly, because I think that the decline in 2007, 2009 was actually decreasing value. It was, things were actually declining in value due to excessive over-speculation. If we're going to go through deflation, it means that the decline is not actually a decrease in value at all. It's just an increase in the value of the dollar, so that there's nothing right. actually potentially changing in value, in true value, just in the numbers that represent that value. So, you know, your house could theoretically, if you sold a house, could theoretically buy just as much stuff as it could at the top. Instead of having a house go from $200,000 to $100,000 because it was over, you know, it was too many people buying and too much over-investment and too little money put down, and you have this big crash in real estate like we had in 2007, 8, and 9, this could be just that the value, the numerical value of the house is declining, but so is everything else, so it doesn't have any real impact on the small guy. I really do think that the real impact here will be those who are heavily in debt and those who own lots of things and maybe overly invested in too much of everything except holding cash. Cash will probably be the best place to have your money for the next few years, and it'll be almost like an investment. Having cash will be like the trade, where that cash could increase in true buying power, and everything else will decrease in buying power, at least decrease numerically in relation to cash. So cash will be the only real trade potentially, and that's a real weird world, because all of my life, all I've been taught is that you don't want to keep your money in cash because cash deteriorates in value, and so you want to have it invested in stuff. But this could be the first time in nearly 100 years, at least 80 or 90, that the investment is holding cash.
So what you're saying is potentially monetary value of real estate and stock market actually might not go down and pass its low from 2008. It's just that in terms of the real value is declining due to the deflationary pressure. Is that correct?
Right. Well, the dollar would be going up in value. Let's say the dollar increases 100%. That means everything else will decrease 50% in relation to the dollar, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to buy any more or any less. If you just held dollars, then you would double your wealth. If you held everything else, you would maintain your wealth. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yes, so that would make the dollar the trade. And the only people that will be hurt are those who actually own things that they owe a lot of money on, have a lot of debt on. For example, if you buy a house for $100,000 and your loan is, say, $90,000, and that house drops to $50,000 in dollar terms, you still owe $90,000. So now your debt has actually gone up almost 50%.
Sure.
That's the problem that I see coming. Only for those who are heavily in debt, heavily invested with margin and speculation and so forth. But anybody who owns most of their house or owns it outright, owns cars outright, don't have credit card debt, those people aren't going to be hurt at all.
It's
a very different world, that, you know, because being in debt and leveraging and speculating has been the way most people have made most of their money for most of the last 100 years. And that's going to all change, I think, for the next 5, maybe 10 years, where it will be exactly the opposite, and that group will now get hurt, and those who don't participate in all that will actually do okay.
So you don't really see any potential social unrest due to the gold crashing with, because everybody, you know, some hedge funds money actually is valuing gold. Some, you know, hedge fund manager recommend their clients to value their investment in gold instead of a real dollar. And so basically gold has been, such a hot thing for people to have. You know, that's why you see all those gold shops everywhere in the neighborhood. You
TV
know,
so shows,
that's
obviously everything.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people basically wish the gold to continue to go up. So when this reverse, breathtaking collapse and crash happens, don't you think that's going to create some kind of social unrest to the world?
Well, remember,
or
social unrest is more the result of, poor people or the lower class not doing well and not having jobs and not having money. In this case, we're talking about the rich suffering, not the poor, and rich people normally don't riot. I don't really see that as being the issue. I mean, now, obviously there will be some people, more the middle class, that might have investments in stock and might have investments in gold that are losing money and losing value. But the poorest will probably actually do the best from this situation based on, right, you know, probability. So it's going to be a very strange world, you know, that we've never experienced before. Now, eventually, once the stock market tops and we start the next phase of the bear markets, we'll probably sometime later this year, I'm not sure exactly when yet, then yes, that will start to cause some, you know, it'll be a reflection of social unrest more, I think, than the actual declining value, true value of stocks and declining true value of anything else. But it will create or will reflect some kind of social unrest. I'm not sure to what degree it's going to occur. But I'm speaking more from a financial standpoint that the damage, I think, will occur mostly with the super rich. And I think you're going to see a massive fall in the richness of the world's richest people because of what's going to happen. So, you know, the Bill Gates and Warren Buffett's of the world, you might see their wealth drop 20, 30, 40, 50% over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
So it's very much like a big wealth equalizer that everybody wants, or everybody says that there's huge dispersion between the rich and the poor.
Right, that actually might start to change.
I see.
Yeah, that makes sense because
in the inflationary scenario, the richer tend to get richer because they'll be able to use their credit ability to borrow more money, to invest more, so they use the leverage, while the poor people, they don't have enough credit to do something.
So this will be exactly the opposite, where I think the poor will benefit from doing nothing and the rich will get hurt from all of their overextension, overexpansion, overcredit obligations and investments. So it'll be a very strange, you know, a very strange thing. I mean, obviously some people who are, you know, don't like the rich are going to love this period.
Sure.
Yeah. It can be a very interesting time.
Glenn, can you share a little bit of your thought how to trade gold from this point on? Because I'm sure a lot of listener or reader would like to get a piece of action into this, a very volatile commodity. But, you know, you sent out an email today that, you know, I thought that was really interesting because how volatile gold has been. Would you like to share some of that?
Well, on the chart, monthly chart. On the monthly chart, so dropping down from the large, really long-term chart, you can see I have a red dashed line where I was predicting what was going to happen. And you can see, for the most part, gold didn't quite rally as much as I expected, but then the sell-off has occurred almost right as the peak was predicted, and this magnitude, the drop is so far 50% of what was already predicted, or almost 50%. So it's doing what I expected. It's dropping very quickly. Based on wave structure, there shouldn't be any support until we get to that 2-4 trend line, which means we're going to drop to almost $1,000, at least $1,100, but probably $1,000 or slightly below, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens this year. And I just can't imagine what that's going to do to the gold bugs, number one, to all the people who have been investing in the gold GLDs and futures markets.
Yeah.
We're going to have probably some really major news event where somebody's going to be the poster child of the excess in the gold market. You know, they're going to go bankrupt, or some fund managers are going to go bankrupt, or some hedge fund. It's going to be somebody's going to have a real disaster over the situation. I don't know how exactly it's going to pan out, but I mean, for gold to drop $600, $700, $800 in less than a year, there's going to be some major hurt in some of those funds. So again, that's going to affect the rich, because the poor don't invest in these kind of things. You know, this is where the rich people are going to get hurt. So that's going to be the first event, and then we should get a huge bounce off of that drop down to around 1,000. It could drop, you know, it could bounce $200, $300, or $400, and then after that we should start heading lower again. And over the next few years, we should easily get down to about at least $800 and maybe even $600. So we're talking about gold dropping almost to one third of its highest value over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
That's quite an implosion.
Sounds like a lot of people are going to get a lot of margin calls. That's why the selling is going to intensify with, you know, brokerage firms calling them to get out of the gold.
Now you have to realize that this call is not based on what I feel or what I think or what I speculate on based on fundamentals or anything. This is strictly based on the conclusion that we finished a five-wave move. The market is now begun the confirmation process of that five-wave move coming to an end by having a $300 drop in just a few days. That pretty much confirms wave five is over, and if wave five is over, then the whole five-wave move is over, and if that whole five-wave move is over, we have to trace the whole thing, which means we're going down to, you know, 600, 700, 800 in the next few years. That's just pretty much what's implied by structure. It's not, you know, necessarily what I believe. It's just what I have to say because that's what structure tells me is going to happen.
Sure, but I guess I'm not an expert in the wave theory, but wouldn't this be some kind of second wave or for the next few decades, or is we actually in a bearish? Okay.
Well, based on what I think is going on, based on the biggest picture, and this is going back 100 years in wave structure for gold, it looks like this is wave five of a almost 100-year advance in the price of gold. So based on that, the minimum downside target would be about $400, but I'm not sure how many years it would take to get there. It should be less than the amount of time it took to get to the high. So let's see, that'd be 2, 4, 6, 8. So it'd be probably somewhere in the area of 4 or 5 years we could theoretically get close to $400 or $500.
Oh my gosh.
And then bounce. And then after that, it could even go lower. It could even eventually go back, you know, toward the 200, 300 level, maybe even lower. I don't know exactly.
Wow.
So this is a major change. And I suspect this could be, this possibly could be the result, if you have heard of that Bitcoin phenomenon that's taking place. It's an online sort of like banking system, a new banking system.
Oh, yeah.
This could be the result of the whole world over time maybe moving away from the cartel-based fractional reserve banking system and slowly removing ourselves from an inflationary fractional reserve banking system and going into a stable, a virtual currency instead of it being gold. And it could be gold-based somehow, I'm not sure how, but getting to a stable virtual currency or a stable real currency instead of a fractional reserve currency. So that could be the reason gold would just keep going down and down and down, because in relation to the dollar or other things that it's compared to, would just keep increasing in value because we would not be in a fractional reserve banking system anymore. So it's possible. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to pan out, but I'm pretty sure and virtually positive that the gold market has peaked, that we're going to be in a bear market for 3 or 4 or 5 years minimum, and the downside target minimum is way below 1,000.
Jeez. And that goes back to the question that I asked a few minutes ago. How would you recommend a trader to capitalize this possibility? Obviously subscribe to your servers too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give generalized kind of predictions, because the problem with anything that we would say and record right now, by the time something changes in the market and I change my mind, they're not going to know that I changed my mind. They're not going to know we got out. They're not going to know I lowered my stop or whatever. So there's no way to generalize a strategy here, except if you're heavily in debt, best strategy is to get out of debt as quick as you can, to make sure that you're not hurt. You know, you're not finding yourself owing way more money than something is numerically valued. Because, you know, when you write a contract, that contract is a specific numerical number. That number doesn't change based on the dollar changing its value. So you don't want to be caught owing $100,000 on a house that's now valued at $50,000, even though the true purchasable value might be the same. The numbers have all changed because the dollar's gone up in value so much.
Sure. Okay.
That would be my best advice. Just get out of debt.
Sure. So this is a daily chart, it looks like it.
This is a weekly chart. And you can see how complicated it is. I mean, this is a massively detailed chart, and it makes it hard to do any specific forecasting on a time frame this large. If I zoomed in on just the decline off the high, you can see if you look right below the X where number 5 is, there's a quick drop right below 1600, a little bounce, and then the violent collapse the last couple of weeks. That, I think, is waves 1, 2, and 3 of a new bear market, and that we're going to get a pretty big bounce of 1 to maybe $150, $100 to $150 over the next few weeks. I'm not sure exactly. And then from there, we'll head down toward the $1,000 level sometime in not too distant future. It could be just a few months from now or less.
So you think the fifth wave is actually going to be longer than the third wave in this scenario?
Probably, based on what I'm seeing so far behaviorally. The next drop starting from a much higher point than we are now is likely to be bigger and faster, which will be even more scary, but then it's going to bounce back up to where we are right now again. So that'll give us probably a violent spike below $1,000 and then a $400 or $500 bounce off the low and convincing people that everything's fine, the worst is over, and we're going to go back into a bull market in gold. Remember, anytime there's an environment of suspiciousness or doubt, it's always associated with expanding environments. So the fact that gold has dropped so much so fast, and I'm hearing so many people say, oh, it was just a fluke, you know, there's just overinvestment and it's just washing them out. There's a lot of doubt that this is the start of any serious new bear market. I haven't heard much talk about that at all.
Right.
So that almost denial and disbelief is a sign that we're in an expanding environment, because if we were in a third wave extension or a first wave extension pattern, people would already believe the downtrend is the true trend. But the fact that they're doubting it means that the worst is still yet to come.
I see. And that makes sense, because if it goes any lower, people really want to throw in the towel. There's a lot of people who are panicking on Monday already. So.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we make one more new low, but we're going to probably get a really big bounce sometime real soon of $100, $150 to finally make people think, oh, the worst is over, it's time to get back in.
Sure. Well, of course, you know, anything, it's best to subscribe to your servers to get a first-hand knowledge every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you'll keep us up to date.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Johnny. Hope this helps your listeners, and it'll be very interesting next few months, so get ready.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and have a good day, everyone.
Okay, you too. Talk to you later.